glad I'm also well. I had a migraine a few weeks ago. I don't get them often enough to worry about, but I do get them every now and again. And I thought I'll go on Twitter. I'll ask people on Twitter how they get rid of their migraines. Give us a cheer if you are on Twitter. I got the usual sort of expected responses, and then my favourite one came up, and it said, 2 Nurofen and a wank. And it totally worked. If anything, it just pushed the throbbing down a bit. Thanks, at Boots the Chemist. About a year ago, I had a sore throat for a bit too long. I went to see my doctor. My doctor said I'm going to send it to see a specialist, an ear, nose and throat specialist. I said, OK. So I forgot to see this fella, lovely fella he was. He said to me, do you suffer from acid reflux? And I said, no. And then when I got home, I realised I should have said yes, because my husband and I eat so many Rennies that we call them bathroom sweets. He said, I need to take Gaviscon after every meal. I said, after every meal, every time I've eaten, because those two are very different numbers. I said, what I'd like to do is put a camera down your throat so we can have a proper look at what we're dealing with. I said, OK. And I thought, this is about where he sends me away and I come back in 6 months with a new appointment. And he went, no, no, we can do that now. Oh, shit. So you've got this contraption, metal like this and metal like this. You need to know, the main thing you need to know is that it's very rigid. None of it moves. So I had to move because it wouldn't move. And he put it down my throat and I instantly gagged. And he pulled it out and he said, are you going to be OK with this? And I went, yes. Back in, I was mortified. He said, do me a favour, the next time you think you're going to gag, do this. I said, why? He said, it stops you gagging. And I thought, noted. My husband's going to think he's being sucked off by a Geordie pensioner. Might be. No, I meant that way, pensioners. I don't mean like for a present.
Well, my name Doris is ready for his gift now. Happy birthday to
him. It's funny watching her try things on there. People behave very oddly when they try things on. You know, you walk in normally in trousers, but then when you try trousers on, there's a whole new look that starts to come out. What do you think of these trousers? I think you're walking weirdly in those trousers. And jackets as well, there's a whole jacket thing that men do. What do you think of this? You saw it? You're never going to behave like that once you own the jacket, are you? Imagine if you went to a meeting. Hello, I'm Ian. Do you like my jacket and trousers? Shoes is the big one, isn't it? When you try shoes on, you have to go for a test walk in your shoes. But it's a walk you will never do once you own the shoes or previous to walking into the shoe shop. It's a walk completely confined to the shoe shop. You feel the need to walk in this brand new way. There'll be some banging involved, moving around in the shoes. What do you think, darling? I quite like them. They'll be perfect for my Elvis impersonation, I think. Let me just push them with my thumb for no reason at all. Well, look at that. What do you know? The toe is in the shoe. It's just there. All the other toes are lined up adjacent. If the toe was down here, quite frankly, I would not purchase this shoe. It would freak me out. The foot is filling the whole sides. Sometimes you get other people to come and help. You come and see. Yeah. I think the toe is in the shoe. I think I'll get one. Maybe a bit more walking, then I might purchase these. They even have little mirrors where you look at it from a slightly different angle. Oh, look, there's the shoe from that angle. The cat will love them. That's what the cat's going to see, probably. That's even if they give you two shoes. Sometimes they're too lazy. They just lace one shoe and hand you one shoe. What you should do is say, in life, people wear two shoes. The clue is your own feet. Oh, no, you just take the one shoe and you go for a walking mat. I like these. Give me two of these for my feet. It's not just clothes that you try before you buy, it's everything. You know, you feel the need to... Well, you're spending your money, you need to make sure you're not wasting it. So you try everything. I bought a Hoover from Comet. I felt the need to try the Hoover out in the shop. Comet is a place, incidentally, that sells electricals. Everything in the shop is plugged in, it needs to be plugged in. But nothing is actually plugged in the shop. So it's filled with people trying things out not for their primary function. People are buying fridges on the strength that it opens and it closes. and it's silver. I was buying a Hoover and I felt the need to, you know, Hoover up the shop a bit. I wasn't plugged in, I just wanted to feel the weight of it, you know. Went down the aisle. In fact, somebody else was trying their Hoover and Hoovered past me. Hello, good Hoover. I stand there. Because that's my Hoovering technique. I walk with my Hoover. There are two very distinctive styles of Hoovering. Either you Hoover like me, where you walk with your Hoover like this. Then when you reach the end, you Hoover around, following behind. Or you stand your ground and Hoover out. Then pick a new position completely at random. Hoover out again. I like the Hoover challenge when there's something in the carpet that could potentially ruin your Hoover. A nail or a paper clip. And you see it, you spot it. Ooh, you square up to it. Ooh, this could be dangerous for the health of my Hoover. Ooh. You know what you should do. You should pick it up and not risk it. But the excitement of living life on the edge overwhelms you. Then you wait for the noise. I made a tear with him. I like it when it's hose time. You can't get in a nook. It's time for the hose. Get the hose out. Get the hose. Stand up the main Hoover. Hose time. Even though you know what a Hoover does, it sucks. It's a vacuum. It sucks air through it. You feel the need at this moment to Hoover yourself. I don't really know why. You feel the excitement building within you. Just trying to spice up an otherwise boring day.
But I did get homesick, right? I did get homesick in LA in the end. And it struck me in a really sort of unusual, unforeseen place. I was in a shop. I was in Macy's in Beverly Hills because I had to go in there to buy a bra, right? I had this dress and I didn't have the right bra for it. So I thought, right, I'll go to a very glamorous shop and I'll get myself a new bra. But I did have a few problems. I was in there for a while because I couldn't find my size. They had all the numbers, but they didn't have all the letters. So after a while, this woman came to help me. I say woman, she looked like a shaved cat in a wind tunnel. Help you at all? I said, yes, you can. I said, I'm trying to find a bra for myself and I can't find my size. I'm a 34 double D. Sometimes I come up an E. Then she looked put out from what I could glean from the lack of movement in her face. Just a movement in her eye. She was like, we do not start double D. E. She looked really pissed off. And then I got a bit defensive, because the implication is that my tits are wrong. Then I got shitty. I was like, well, hang on, this is America, innit? I mean, there are big-titted women out there. Where are they getting their bras from, then? A camping shop? So then she calls her colleague across the shop, Amy, this woman here claims to be a double D. Then Amy, this other woman, pops her head up across this store of bras and knickers is a word that makes you feel British, knickers. No one else says knickers, they're saying lingerie and panties, but we're like, no, it's knickers. Yeah, Amy, have you got any, like, pop-up 10 bras and apple catcher knickers, babe? So then Amy pops up, she goes, double D? We've got A, we've got B. I'm like, I know how the alphabet works, Amy. She says, are you sure you're a double D? I said, yes, I am sure, actually, because I'm from the UK and I was measured by a municipal woman in Marks and Spencer's as part of a government campaign. Actually, because in my country, everyone's wearing slightly the wrong bra size, apparently, so we've all got to get measured by a woman that looks like Mary and Margulies, and then she sends us out into the world, oh, you're a double D, dear. So I know what I am, and in that moment, I just wanted to be an M&S. I've never felt a feeling so strong in all my life, because I like to think as Marks and Spencer's as the Citizens Advice Bureau of Retail. It's a strong feeling, and I don't really know why, because it's not, is it? I mean, it's changed, of course it has. It's like all the other shops. I mean, I was in there recently, I was going up the escalator to get some knickers, packet of five. and I was going up to the lingerie department, knicker department. I know some people are listening to this anecdote thinking, oh, this is an interesting anecdote about the purchase of a bra. A couple of other people might be thinking, oh, bras, that's where tits live. But to be honest with you, that is sort of the problem, really, isn't it? Because it's a remedial garment, a bra, on a par with a balaclava or a veruca sock. And it's the sexualisation of it that I find irritating. I was in M&S recently and I got in a rights drop because they've gone and done it now. I was going up the escalator to the lingerie department, nicky department, and there was a massive poster advertising this season's lingerie. What do you mean seasonal knickers? Who's got seasonal knickers? Who puts away their summer knickers at the end? You know, get some more back out in September, one don't fit like last year, these knickers, don't they? Look at these seasonal knickers.
My name's David. Some of you will know me from my comedy. You'll all know my graffiti. You'll know my tag. I do two parallel yellow lines beside the path. And the great thing is that motorists really respect my work. Okay, we're in. Shout out to my sponsors this evening for this gig. My sponsors are Lasagna, or as I call it, Meat Viennetta. And the French soft drink, Orangina. Which would sell a lot less if it was pronounced Orangina. It would sell. Big gig, you guys. Big. I've made the supreme commitment to this gig. Check it out. Fresh batteries. Argos. Went to Argos. And if you don't go to Argos very often, you forget. Argos is sort of like a shop, but much more like a bookies. That must have been the original plan. You go in and you study the form and you're like, I'm gonna take a punt on that. And you fill in the little docket with the tiny pencil. You go up to the counter, can I have a tenner on that, please? And he's like, best of luck, go over to the big screens. You're like, come on, 362. Take it home to Papa. If Findus, the frozen food brand, have a Facebook page, they can legitimately say Findus on Facebook. Serena Williams' nickname should be Tennessee Williams. That's the best joke I've ever come up with. I mean, it's fine. Have you contacted single ladies you have a seance? Okay, look, all I want from this, I just want to be a one-name entertainer. I want you to be able to say, oh, we saw David last night, and everyone will know who you're talking about, you know? There's no doubt with Beyonce. Your mother's never like, who, Beyonce O'Loughlin? Problem is, all the other Davids who are more famous than me, there's billions of them. So I'm dedicating the next 6 months of my life. I'm going to murder all of the Davids who are more famous than me. Name a David who's more famous than me. I will tell you how I'm going to murder them. Okay, go. David Cameron, there's two options there. One is a referendum, or the other is crushed to death by a pig. We'll take a couple more Davids. David Blaine, that's quite an obscure David. I mean, with the magician, what do you just like, you'd lock him in a cupboard for a year? Well, that trick didn't work, hardly. David Beckham bent him into an unconventional position. Craig David is the trickiest, still technically a David, you know? With him, it's a medium-term plan. With Craig David, I think I'd meet him, like, for a drink, just early in the week. And then we'd be making love for several days, and then kill him on Sunday. Okay, let's go. Thank you.
My parents came to this country as refugees, right? Refugees, right? That's always a bit of a contentious topic whenever you mention it in this country, right? The refugee crisis. But it's like, guys, nobody's coming over here because they like the idea of Nando's and a Weberspoons, right? Nobody's coming over here on a dingy little boat going, oh, I wonder what Olbar One is like. Yeah? Do you know the funniest part of that whole thing, right, is we call ourselves Great Britain, and then get surprised when people turn up to see how great it really is. Guys, there's an adjective in the name. No other country on earth has that. You don't have banging Bangladesh, do you know what I mean? Like, Now, my parents came over here, they came over here for a safer life back in 1990 as refugees. My dad was part of the resistance fighting against Saddam Hussein's regime. So they came over here for a safer life. They were fleeing war and persecution, you know, came over here for a safer life and ended up moving to Brixton, South London, right? Yeah, not this new Brixton, yeah. We've got hipsters walking around going, oh my God, I love the reggae. Look at your delightful colours, Jah Rastafari, indeed, yeah. I'm talking Brixton in the 90s where you could buy weed in a patty in the same building, right? You know, the kind of place that was just littered with £1 shops, like you go in there for like sellotape, but somehow you end up leaving with chocolate, shower gel, and a brand new identity, yeah? It's changed now though, man. It's not as rough as it used to be. I knew my area changed when we got a Starbucks. Because I thought to myself, the last thing gangsters on council estates were crying out for was caramel frappuccinos, right? I just want to see how that conversation would happen. One of these guys walking in there like, yeah, 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 yeah. Obviously. Because everything's obvious to these guys, right? Apart from the law. You know, he's looking at the menu. You can imagine his confusion when he sees the word panini. Okay, there's a panini in here, okay. My kind of coffee shop, yeah. He can't even pronounce what he wants. He's there looking at the menu like, yeah. Can I get a... Flip it. Just give me one of them things there, boss, yeah? You know, the guy behind the counter is really excited.
Certainly, sir. What size would you like?
Yeah, get me a large, innit? Because I'm living large. You get me? Make sure you spell my name correctly, though, yeah? It's killer with an A, not E-R. Now, I realised my area had properly changed, right, when I was in Lidl, right? No, because, you know, I love Lidl. Like, I even love the way Lidl sounds, like Lidl, you know? Lidl, because it sounds like what a German would reply if you asked him what the price was. Do you know what I mean? Like, ah, it's only a Lidl. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was in there, right, and I saw these two hipsters, right? And one said to the other one, no, 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 Hugo, don't get the sliced bread. We'll go and get some sourdough from elsewhere. I was like, who are these monsters, bro? Yeah. I think they're too good for sliced bread, right? Sliced bread is so good, we use it as a measurement to describe how good other things are in this country, Hugo. And is that not good enough for you? Get out of my country right now, Hugo.
Hello, Apollo! You all look beautiful. This is a terribly fancy show, you know. It's very fancy. They said, Chappy, buy a new dress. This is my new dress I bought especially for tonight. Do you like it? I've got to be really... Oh, a wolf whistle. Never used to get that when I was a bloke. So I bought this dress specially, but I've got to be very careful not to spill anything on it, because I'm giving it back to the shop in the morning. We all do it. I did this thing, I went to give this dress back to the shop, and the shop assistants always go, was there anything wrong with it? And I said, well, yes, it doesn't work. She said, what do you mean it doesn't work? And I said, well, I mean, I wore it, went out to a party, got very drunk, flirted with lots of guys, and still went home alone. This dress is broken. Another time I went in and I said, I can't wear this anymore. She goes, oh, why not? Well, I've lost weight. It's too big for me now. And she looked at the receipt and said, you bought it a week ago. And I went, yes, and now I've had the baby. £7 in one morning. Some people are quite shy about giving stuff back to the shop, but I'm really, you've got to be very bolshy and not be scared to make a scene. Demand to see the man at the top. I was in John Lewis and I would not leave until John Lewis himself to rectify the problem. You can do it anyway. You got a problem in KFC. Excuse me, these fries, I didn't eat them. You tell that colonel to stop licking his fingers for 5 minutes and come here and sort me out. Obviously, you... Colonel Saunders, sort me out. That sounded a bit more dirty than I meant it to. You've got to be careful, though, not to get too mental. Like, it doesn't work in mobile phone shops. You can't stand there and go, I demand to speak with the orange. two children. I have a big brother. There is a year between me and my brother, and we're really competitive. It took me years to beat his Pac-Man score. And when I did, he chased me out the house, down an alleyway, wrestled me to the ground, gave me an almighty Chinese burn, completely ruined my wedding dress. And he got to an age where, like, he'd play with me, he'd always play with me, we'd play buckaroo, and he got a real donkey to make it harder for me. I won't tell you what operation was like, I still got the scars. And he got to an age where he realised I was a girl and it wasn't cool having a little sister. On the way to school, he'd make me walk 10 paces behind him. And we weren't even married.
Do we have any Welsh people here? There's one over there, one person in three. Did you grow up in Wales? Yes. It's tough, isn't it? How old were you when you realised you could take a cagoule off? It's not rhetorical, I'm waiting for an answer back there. Oh, it's true, in the Bible God made it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Is that still the best summer you remember? There was a hosepipe ban that year, do you remember that? So it's nice to be here in London. I drove down from Wales to be here. I seem to spend most of my life on motorways, in motorway service stations. What's happened to them? Do you remember the good old days of motorway services? Petrol and a porn mag. It's all you could get. The halcyon days of the petrol station. Now you have to be in there all day. You have to spend hours, don't you? They have to sell you everything under the sun. Every piece of unrelated crap, don't they? A lobby full of stuff that nobody needs. I only stopped for a poo. I came out with a two-man tent, a director's chair and a torch with the power of a million candles, whatever the hell that is. Have you seen those things in a torch with the power of a million candles for £3.99? You know, a million candles for £3.99, that's going to spell the end of the single candle, you mark my words. Tesco sell candles in packs of five for £1.99. That's a saving of nearly 400 grand you get in there. It's not much, but every little helps, doesn't it? And I buy these things. I got no... Have you got any idea how bright a million candles is? Has anyone here got any notion, any inkling at all of how bright a million... I don't think in candles, do you? 100,000 has got to be enough for any domestic situation, hasn't it? Have you ever been down the cellar with 900,000 candles and thought, this is hopeless? I can't see a bloody thing down here. Mother, throw me down another 100,000. They're in the second drawer down. Let's get a bit of bloody light down here. I've only ever seen 26 candles lit at any one time. It was my granddad's 90th. He was mental by then. It didn't matter. He did have 90, but I got there late and blowing out the first 64 killed him, unfortunately.
I took up swimming. I tried to go swimming. I went to my local public pool, not a private fancy gym, a local pool, a council pool where anybody can go. And by that, they mean anybody can go. I was there, public pool. I'd done my length. And I stopped. But I made it look cool. Not that way you put your elbows up on the tiles. Can't wait to go and grab a smoothie. Now, if you've got a bit of your waist, you do need to shop in cheap clothes shops. Not if you walk in somewhere trendy, like somewhere like River Island or Topshop, you know, somewhere like that. And some boy band freak show comes bouncing across to serve. You know the people who work in these places? And they don't walk, they bounce. Hey, man, yeah. Well, that energy and enthusiasm that oozes from people who have never been punched in the face. And you ask this guy, I had to ask his assistants, I said, excuse me, mate, can I try on these jeans and a 36-inch waist? And the guy's enthusiasm just drained. And he looked at me. You know that way you would look at somebody if they just took a shite in your kettle? Primark, Primark, they've started selling Che Guevara T-shirts. That's a fitting testament to the man's legacy, isn't it, Che Guevara? Che Guevara, he fought for the poor and oppressed in South America. Now his face has been stitched onto T-shirts by the poor and oppressed in Southeast Asia to be worn by the poor and oppressed in Southeast London. That's where I stay when I come to London, South East London, kind of Dulwich sort of area. There's a lot of knife crime, a lot of crime. I don't really know the solutions to that particular problem, but I think a start would be to maybe close the shops that sell the weapons in the first place. Now you get these high street shops that sell crossbows to guys in shell suits. Not these places. Shops that sell thousands of baseball bats every year, but have never sold any baseballs. Oh, the Peckham Rye. Red Sox, I've not had a game in a while. As in one of these places, done a bit of research, and the only security measure, if you want to buy a violent weapon, is you need to fill in a form, leaving your name and address, so if anything happens, you can be traced for questioning. Now, that's the theory. But what self-respecting nutcase buying a weapon would leave their real name and address? Now, I picture some police investigation team going through the book and saying, excuse me, shop owner, says here, you sold a samurai sword to Belt and Ernie from 24 Sesame Street. And some new guy cop, he'd get sent on a wild goose chase somewhere. Sesame Street not showing up on the sat nav. Putting down the window for directions. Going, excuse me, can you tell me? How to get to Sesame, that's a wind up, isn't it? I'm Kevin Bridges, thanks for watching, good night, God bless.